Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. I am so happy to be with you today, and I am excited to continue our series, Legends and Misfits. I'll let you into a secret. This is one of my favorite subjects. I love to look into characters from the Bible and see how their life can influence us, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. Everyone's got a story and it is so helpful. In fact, this is something that we'll probably do most years. We will look into legends and misfits. And maybe you have a character that you would love us to speak about. Why don't you get that in the chat? That will maybe be helpful for us as we go forward. Well, the conversation went something like this. Who was at church? Are you sure? They've become a Christian? Wow, I didn't expect that. I didn't think they'd be there. In that moment, I was reminded that too often we look at the behavior and the lifestyle of the sinner and we lose sight of the work of God in their life. Yes, someone had given their life to Jesus, but we didn't expect it. I guess that's a danger with all of us, that we become so familiar with what people do that we don't remember what God has already done. You're very familiar with the story of Jericho when those walls came tumbling down. The children of Israel, they walked around those walls. And in fact, at Sunday school, we sing songs about it, don't we? But what we don't realize is there's another character that was involved in that story, and I want to speak to you today about the rescue of Rahab. Hebrews chapter 11, for a scripture, we read these words. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Just wait a minute here. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the great chapter of faith. I call it God's Hall of Fame. This is a woman who previously lived a life of shame. What is she doing there? How did she make it into Hebrews chapter 11? Well, let's look at the rescue of Rahab. The context is that Joshua has sent two spies out to look at this great city before they attack it. They come and they lodge in the house of Rahab. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. The king hears about that and he sends his men to go and arrest them. Rahab hides the spies. Then she goes and she speaks to them, and before she sends them on their way, she says, listen, I know that you're going to be successful. I know the children of Israel are going to take Jericho. I need you to promise that you are going to keep me safe and my family. Yes, they said, we will. You make sure that you put a scarlet cord in the window and you will be safe. Let's look at our story just for a few moments. You see, everyone's got a story. We read there, Rahab the harlot. Now, I don't know about you, but I read about her even in the New Testament, and nearly every time she's mentioned, her previous occupation is mentioned also. I'm sort of like, come on, guys, give her a break. You know, that's what she was, but oh, hey, her life was turned around. Why is that in the Bible? I'll tell you why. Rahab's story is there to remind every single one of us that regardless of where we've been, whatever we've done, whatever our past has been, whatever our start in life has looked like, however we've messed up, if Rahab can make it, here's the good news. When we put our trust in God, we can make it too. Is it any wonder that we speak about the grace of God? John Newton got it right when he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know that there are some Christians, they won't sing that song that way? They say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like I used to be." I'm sorry. Listen, I love God, but I still get it wrong. I still make mistakes. He saved a wretch like me. Even John Newton, who was a slave trader, God took his life, turned it around, and made him a songwriter. That is the good news of the gospel. God takes the ordinary and makes us extraordinary. Too often we forget where we've been, and we focus on where folks are. But God invites you. And right now, God invites you and me to be part of his incredible story, the story that is still being written. Whatever your start, God can write your story. Whatever you're involved in right now, God can rewrite your story if you will allow him. Listen, it's not about your unworthiness. It's the fact that he is worthy. I love the story of salvation. And that's why Rahab was told by the spies, put a scarlet cord in the window. Can you imagine that? People must have looked and thought, what's Rahab doing? It wasn't a red light. I tell you, that was her past. It was a scarlet cord, which signified the precious blood of Jesus in the New Testament. One of my favorite illustrations, I use it so often, is one that in the Old Testament, if someone would come before the priest with a sacrifice, the priest would never look at the individual. I'll tell you why they were there. They were guilty. But the priest would always look at the lamb, the sacrifice. And as long as the lamb was without blemish, it was accepted. Here's the good news. When God, he looks at me, he no more sees the things I've done. He only looks at his precious son, who has redeemed every single one of us. You see, that scarlet cord was an outward sign of an inward conviction. The bloodline is our lifeline. You see, when I talk about the rescue of Rahab, I'm not only talking today to you about the fact that she was saved from Jericho. I'm not only talking about the fact that she ended up being with the children of Israel. I'm referring right now to the fact that God rescued her from a life of sin and degradation and took her and used her and weaved her story into his master plan. You see, here's the good news. We're all part of this story. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. God sees beyond our faults. He still uses us. He's aware of our failings. And you know what? He still loves us. And he still comes to us and he invites us. He said, come unto me. God never pushes us away. Through Jesus, he always invites us to come in. You see, you can be unqualified and yet you're still chosen. You maybe think that you've got to come from a good home, been brought up right, done everything well, stayed within the law, obeyed your mom and dad. Listen, I wish we'd all done that. But the truth of the matter is this, when you look at the Church of God, when you look at the Christians, different backgrounds, different scenarios, but the Bible says we've been adopted into the family of God. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It's one of my favorite verses. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He takes a Moses with a stutter, and he says, you know what? I'll use you. Because Moses, I want people to realize that you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to have great communication skills to be used in my master plan. And Moses is in that grandstand that Hebrews 12 speaks about, and he's cheering us on. He says, he takes a Sarah who experienced barrenness, who God at her own age allowed her to have a child, to say, listen, your age is no restrictor. Your gender is no restrictor to be used in my master plan. And I will use the fruit of your old age to be a blessing to nation upon nation. He takes a Gideon, fearful and afraid, hiding in a wine press, so that those of us who feel we have no courage, who have no strength, who are nervous and anxious, Gideon is cheering us on, and he lets us know, if God can use me, guess what? God can use you. He takes an Esther, who was an orphan, to remind us that he's a father to the fatherless, and a Peter. What can we say about Peter? You talk about someone who blew it time and time again. Can I get a witness this morning? He uses a Peter to testify that even when you belong to him and get it wrong, when you come and ask for forgiveness, he still uses you in his story. I'm so glad that he's picked me. He takes a Jacob, the Bible says that the Jacob in Genesis 32, that he walked with a limp after he wrestled with that angel. You know, maybe you're walking with a limp. Maybe you carry the scars of your yesterday. Maybe physically, maybe it's emotionally, but you're carrying scars, and your scars are screaming right now. Your weakness is saying to you, God will not use you. And yet Jacob is saying, I'm walking with a limp, but I'm a prince with God. And you, my friend, you're a son and daughter of God. I'm speaking faith right now. I believe I'm speaking through this camera lens into your home. I'm talking to you, Christian. Yes, you love God, and God wants to use you, but you're looking at all the reasons why God cannot. I'm telling you right now, God is already saying, I will. His desire is to use you in his master plan. The devil, he's a liar. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. He's maybe got you doubting God right now. That's why we don't only look at Rahab's story. We look at her testimony. Listen to what she said to these spies. We've heard about you guys. We've heard how you crossed the Red Sea on dry ground when you left Egypt. We've heard how God was with you when you defeated those two kings the other side. And when we heard these news, she says, our heart filled us for fear. That's why we need you to save us. Listen, she had more faith than a lot of non-Christians have. She says, I know, she says, that your God is the true God in heaven and in earth. I mean, that is incredible, because some of us right now are doubting God in the midst of COVID-19. We're like, God, where are you? I'm struggling. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. And let her testimony become your testimony. We know our God is able. He did it in the past. He'll do it again. She demonstrated her faith by the fact that she hid the spies. The Bible says that her house was in the very wall. The people of Jericho, they trusted in those walls. It had kept them safe for so many years. People had come to try and fight against Jericho. They had no success. Why? Because of the walls. I wonder what you're trusting in right now. I wonder what you're depending on right now. You see, others in Jericho trusted in the walls. Rahab made a decision. She was going to trust in God. And right now, when things are failing us, when, let's be honest, man's heart fails him for fear, where are you putting your trust and your dependence? And that's why her testimony encourages to keep on, keep the faith. That's why we're told in Hebrews 12 that there is this great cloud of witnesses, and I imagine it like a great grandstand where all the legends and the misfits that have gone on before, they're sitting there and they're cheering us on. Now, many of you know that I'm the chaplain up at Peterhead Football Club. I sometimes love to listen to some of the comments in the grandstand. It's sometimes more entertainment than what's actually happening on the pitch. And I hear everyone, kick the ball, you're useless, you're no good, do this, do that. I pay no attention to the comments, because most of these people that are saying this have never kicked a football in their life. But the other season there, one of the football players who was injured was sitting next to me. And he commented through the whole game, do this, do that. I listened to him. I'll tell you why. He produced it on the pitch. Therefore, he had credibility when it came to the grandstand. And I want you to take encouragement this morning to those who are in the grandstand that are cheering us on. They're known as the witnesses of faith. They're saying, come on, you can make it. You see, the enemy, the accuser of our brothers and sisters. He's saying, you're no good. You're never going to make it. What does Rahab's testimony teach us? I'll tell you what it teaches us. That God lets outsiders in. I love 1 Timothy 1:15 to 17. When the Apostle Paul, thinking of this whole thing of being invited into the family of God, he says these words. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Did you get that? Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God's. Amen. But listen to Rahab's legacy also. Because she said to these spies, listen, I want you to save me, my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, and their relatives. This tells me that God is into household salvation. Rahab's story tells us that God is interested in your family. Can you imagine how she went and chased them all up to make sure that they were in that house where there was the scarlet cord that was dangling from the window? I love that thought. My mother often says to me, Mrs. C, she says, Neil, my purpose on earth was to write 4 books. I have 3 other siblings. The name of those 4 books is very simple. Wendy, Philip, Neil, and Louise. She says, I have been writing your life story and plowing into you the things of God because I want you to be faithful witnesses of God. I tell you, I'm talking to parents right now. Parents, Apex Church, if you have young children, you need to be praying for your kids. I tell you, when you play with them, I hope you pray with them when you put them into their bed at night and they're sound asleep. Mom and dad, you should be going into that bedroom. You should be laying your hands on them and pronouncing the blessing of God and the protection of God because they are your family. You should be speaking favor into adulthood for those that belong to you. Pastor Dan is in this room right now. Hey, for little Daniel, you should be praying the blessing of God upon him. Deborah, the blessing of God upon that young boy, that God would protect him and keep him safe. When you're driving in your car, mom and dad, start praying for your kids. When you're walking in the street, come on, start praying for your family. Please forgive me for getting excited, but I believe in household salvation. And for those of you, perhaps right now, your children aren't walking with Jesus, I tell you, keep praying, keep believing. That's what I'm doing. Listen, I know that one day they're going to respond and come back to him. Every prodigal coming home, every prodigal declaring that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Because I have a scarlet cord attached to the window of my home. We are believing that our God is able. Recently, I had such a great joy. I met one of my cousins. He wasn't walking with God anymore. And after a long conversation, I could sense that the presence of God was there. And I asked him a simple question. Can I pray for you to come back into relationship with Jesus? He said, yes, pray for me. Oh, people were walking past. I didn't care. What a moment that was to see part of my family reconnect with God. Listen, it doesn't have to be a Sunday in church. It doesn't have to be when we're all in a building. It can be in a parking lot and you can sense God working on others. What a joy that was. But you know what about Rahab? Here's something else about her incredible legacy. Do you know that in Matthew chapter 1, we find her in the lineage of Christ? Salmon, we read, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that Rahab was in the lineage of King David that we all speak about? Yes, she was. Wait a minute, are you telling me that she was a great-great-whatever-grandmother of Jesus? She was. You see, that's what God can do when he writes you into his master plan. I saw this the other day. I was so encouraged by it. Listen, nature forms us. Sin deforms us. Schools try to inform us, hello. A prison can reform us. The world tries to conform us, but only Jesus can transform us. Amen and amen. And if God could rescue Rahab, yes, my friend, God could rescue you. I'm talking to you right now. You've never responded to the love of God. You come up with all the reasons why you think you're too bad. You've gone too far. You've crossed the line. God only looks after good people. You've done too much wrong in your life. You know, you are the very one that God the Father sent Jesus Christ to rescue. And if you want to be part of this master plan, if you want to be part of the family of God, if you're listening to me right now and you're saying, hey, it's my turn, I want to say yes to the gospel. I want to be part of what God is writing today. I want to pray with you. I am excited to pray with you. I believe that you tuned in today because God has a message for you. And right now, that sense that you feel that your heart is about to come out of your chest, you're thinking, wow, this is strange. You're almost glad that no one else is listening because you know your past. You know what you've done. You know what? So does God. But he's ready to forgive you. Hey, if you're ready to take that step, would you pray with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but we have heard today that you are my Savior. Would you forgive me of my sin? I want you to be Lord of my life. Now I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, well done you. If you said yes, would you get that in the chat? We have folks that are ready to connect with you. They are going to help you walk on your journey with Jesus. I want to take the time to talk to Christians right now, if I may. I'm talking to people who feel that God cannot use you. You feel that you're unqualified. You think, well, I can't speak. It's okay, neither can Moses. You're nervous, you're anxious, you're fearful, you're afraid. You hide in the background and you push others forward. And God has been speaking to you all through this talk, reminding you. And not only God reminding you, but those grandstand witnesses of people that I mentioned that are testimony that God can take our weaknesses and use it for his glory. And I want to challenge you right now. Stop hiding in the background. Come into the place where God wants you to be. Let his pen write your story to his glory. Let God use you.